for a nostalgic trip down memory lane. That's what's happening next. Our tour guide is the author of a new book that is certain to jog a lot of memories. The book of the coffee table variety is titled Lost Treasures of St. Louis. It's just that, a colorful, picture-rich compilation of people, places, and things that are long gone but are still present in the memories of many. I'll just mention a few. Pelicans, the Highlands, Texas Spruce. Joining me in studio to revive some of those memories is Cameron Collins, the author of Lost Treasures of St. Louis. If you have a memory of some place you miss, something that is no more, give us a call to 382-8255, send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or send a tweet to STL on Air. Cameron, nice to have you with us in studio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great job on this book. It's a lot of fun. People who've been around for a while or just newcomers are going to love it. One of the things I love about it is all the colorful pictures, a lot of text. This must have been a heck of a job to research and come up with all of this stuff.
It was a daunting task. It took 2 years to compile and put together. And everything from the writing to the photograph, collecting all the photographs were hurdles, but in the end, it was all worth it.
Well, you, as I understand it, you've only been here since 1995, 22 years, I guess that makes it.
Correct, yes.
You reached back a lot farther than
I did.
Tell us about your process.
When I came onto the project, it was presented to me by the publisher, who I have been writing a St. Louis history blog for about the last 5 years or so. And they gave me a crack at this. And being a big fan of St. Louis history, it was a great way for me to look back and see even another aspect.
Where did you find all these photos?
From people. A lot of the Missouri History Museum was a great help. Landmarks Association of St. Louis was a great help. But most of the photographs came from interviews with people who had these memories, and so a lot of them come from personal collections.
Any personal favorites that you have? I mean, I don't know how many there are in here, 100 or two?
No, there's actually over 400.
Wow.
My favorites are, and I believe it's probably because of their personalities, are the St. Louis Zoo animals, Phil the gorilla, Siegfried the walrus, and if I were be able to go back in a time machine, I would go to that zoo first to see those animals. And Mr. Moke is one of my favorite stories about how he was kidnapped by the trainer that sold him to the zoo just 2 months prior. So there's great stories in there, too.
Oh, I would think that some of the sports figures and maybe some of the media personalities would take exception to your choice there. But what the heck? It's your choice.
Definitely. But the sports figures, that's even my favorite page in the whole book are the – with the St. Louis Steamers and the St. Louis Stars. It was a great project to research.
You start out with food, and I think it's probably the longest segment. And who amongst us hasn't been to one of the places along the line that you have mentioned there? Just list a couple of the places that to jog some memories.
Sure. And you mentioned Pelicans,
yeah.
Which was and I drive by that building every day on my way to work. The cafeterias were a really popular subject. Everybody I talked to wanted to taste the lemon cake at Miss Hollings again.
Garavelli's, Pope's.
Garavelli's and Pope's in the Forum cafeteria. And I kept hearing these great stories about people from their, in times past where it would be a day event of going downtown St. Louis to shop at the big three famous and going to a cafeteria after and having tea with mother and so forth. They were great stories.
You know, as we talk about these things and thinking back to Famous Bar and Sticks, Bear and Fuller and places like that, I remember reading a book about 25 years ago by Alvin Toffler called Future Shock. And what he was the point that he was making in the book is that times change, and sometimes they change very, very quickly. And this has a psychological impact on people when familiar landmarks are suddenly gone. Did you run into any of that during your research?
Well, not really. There was a lot of, pining for the past.
Yeah.
A lot of people just wishing, even places like the floating McDonald's on the riverfront, people would mention, You know, you could smell the river while you were eating your Big Mac, but they still, if they had a chance to get it back, they would do it.
Yeah. Speaking of the river, and you really begin the book on this particular subject, I'm going to bring in a caller. Stu is calling from Brentwood because he's going to bring up something that most people who are around today will remember. So let's bring Stu into the discussion. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, of course. We're talking about the Admiral.
Of course. Yeah, the Admiral is... If I were to rank the topics, the Admiral would be in the top five for sure.
Yes, yes. And we need to bring back another boat and put it down on the riverfront, especially now that the arch is being redone. If we're going to spend civic money on something, let's spend it on a boat down on the river.
Stu, before you get away, share with us one of your memories of the Admiral.
Well, I remember the fun part we always had was going down and just going from wedding reception to wedding reception because so many people would get married and maybe they didn't have enough money to rent out a hall and everything. And they would just pack up the whole wedding party and bring them down on the Admiral. And it was a really good time. And so, we kind of wedding crashing was fun at the Admiral.
Wedding crashing. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You run into any stories about that?
I didn't, but I will see. And I actually, the Admiral is one that I remember. It was still here as a casino when I moved here. But I loved listening to stories about people who they dressed up to go down to the Admiral for a night of dancing. But I never heard any stories about wedding crashing, but that sounds fun.
There's a lot of prom activity, I think, mm-hmm. on the Admiral as well.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about dressing up, and it wasn't too many years ago, but times have really changed. You look at pictures of old Sportsman's Park, for instance, and you see men in fedoras and coats and ties watching the ball game. You're never going to see that sort of thing anymore.
Exactly. And it always amazes me because St. Louis in the summer is not the coolest city in the country, and dressing up like that must have been rather warm.
And doing your research, and of course, when you're talking about 400 different places, I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe there were a couple of places that as you were researching, you said to yourself, gee, I really wish that were still here.
Oh, of course. The amusement parks. How great would it be if Forest Park Highlands was still sitting there? And even on this, near in the same site, the arena. How great it would have been to, and I was still here. I was here when the arena was still around. But I remember the day when it came down, and I was living in Dogtown at the time and seeing the hordes of people walking to say goodbye. And, but dozens, I wish I would research and think, wow, I really wish I could have been in St. Louis when that was here.
An awful lot went on at the arena, aside from hockey. I was with Channel 2 for a long time, and we used to do a Bowling for Dollars program.
And that's
the
arena. And that's in the book.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. I know it is.
Yep.
You've got a nice section on the media, and a lot of familiar names that come. I mentioned Texas Bruce. We mm-hmm. talk about, Jack Carney was an institution here, and you spent a lot of time. Bob Hardy, people like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Did you get a chance to listen? I'm trying to think of when they both passed or retired. Did you get a chance to listen to those guys?
I really didn't. Most of my research came through printed materials. But I do know there is a fantastic website hosted, and it's called the St. Louis Media History Foundation, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there are clips on that site, and I definitely would go there and on YouTube and see clips of – even the old Becky's Tile and Carpet commercials was another one, and Pete Parisi's Worldwide Magazine and so forth, along with audio clips of old DJ Spider Burks and so forth.
Yeah, there are a lot of characters that were doing commercials for a long time here in St. Louis. Yeah. Steve Mizzarini comes to mind mm-hmm. on roller skates yet. We have a tweet here from Liz who says, I love this book, able to peruse the places my mom grew up in the 40s and my memories from the 70s. You're getting a lot of that kind of reaction?
The reaction to the book has been delightful. In exactly a lot of that kind of commentary where, people are getting a walk down memory lane. And I've actually been delivering a lot of these books myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been warmly welcomed into their homes and sat down to tell even more stories. It's been great.
Right. I think we have Tom with us now. Let's bring him in. Tom, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Don. I'd like to ask the author, a lot of the landmark buildings that have disappeared in recent decades, like the Parkmore, Carriage Bowl, Redbird Lanes, have been replaced by Walgreens. And I remember maybe 10 or 11 years ago, there was a citizen effort to save that round building on Grand by SLU that's now got a Chipotle and a Starbucks, used to be a gas station. And I just wonder if he knows, has Walgreens changed their policy of tearing down St. Louis landmarks and putting up a Walgreens on another corner?
I don't know if they have a policy, but I do know, for example, the Southwest Bank on Southwest and Kings Highway, there was was slated for demolition to be replaced by a Walgreens, and I think they began working with preservationists who wanted to preserve that building. So I do see at least movement that they are working with, preservationists and groups that want to hang on to at least the identity of these buildings. But it's funny you mention that because I have actually thought about writing about the replacement of many of our great buildings by pharmacies. So, but you were perfectly right. The Carriage Bowl and also the Palace Bowl on Southwest was also replaced by a Walgreens. But great point.
I think Walgreens has a policy. They want to put a Walgreens on a corner every 3 miles across the country.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I think they're well on their way to doing that. At least they are here in the St. Louis area. We have a tweet from Mike who writes, "The Creepy Crawl. I absolutely loved that venue growing up." Is that was that in your target range there?
I know about that. It did not make the book. That was actually one I couldn't find an image for. Huh. So some we did have as we went through the whole process. We tried to find photographs for every treasure. And a few were pulled simply because we couldn't find a sufficient image. But maybe second edition down the road.
Well, I was going to say, what are some of those that you wished were in that aren't?
I really wish I could have maybe hit more of the taverns and bars and so forth. They were difficult. Thermers down on Cherokee was one that I hoped to get in there. Also, swimming pools and roller skating rinks were difficult to find images for. We do have a section in the book for that, but wow, that was a tough. Not a lot of photographs out there of swimming pools.
Well, you talked about a second edition. Are you serious about that? If these photos start coming in, would you?
I would. I would certainly. I hope my publisher would be interested in that as well. But it was a fun project, and I would love to keep it going.
Well, how could folks get in touch with you if they wanted to provide some of those photos you're looking for?
Sure. I write my blog as Distilled History, and so my email address is cameron@distilledhistory.com.
We'll put that information on our website.
Thank you.
And, hopefully we'll participate in your second edition. We're talking with Cameron Collins. He is the author of Lost Treasures of St. Louis. It's a coffee table book, and if you've spent any time at all in St. Louis, you'll want to take a look at it. It's a really, really, really a lot of fun. Have to take a break. We'll do that now. Come back and continue our conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. We'll continue our conversation now with Cameron Collins, the author of The Lost Treasures of St. Louis. If you're just joining us, this is a book that is filled with photographs and text about all of those memories so many of us have about things that are no longer a part of our landscape here in the St. Louis region. And that's what we were talking about. Let's go back to the phones. We have some callers who want to talk about their own memories. We'll start with Linda calling from St. Louis. Linda, go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah. I grew up on the city's north side, and I lived in the area of Natural Bridge and Kings Highway, and that's where the Chevy plant used to be, where they made the Corvettes. Johnny Landolf was on Union, and I think Ashland, the Kroger store, there were a lot of businesses. It was very vibrant. People were able to have jobs in their neighborhood over there. I don't know if he went back that far or whether or not he touched on the city's north side, but there were a lot of businesses. The Howard Johnson was on Kings Highway close to Natural Bridge. It was just so many places, although the Howard Johnsons, we weren't allowed to go in back then. But and what's still there is the White Castle. The White Castle has always been there. But there were just so many places. And Northside back then was so vibrant. It's kind of sad now. I wish the Walgreens would put a Walgreens on every 3 miles on the city's north side. They do south, but they don't do north. But it would be great to hear about his research about the city's north side.
Linda, thank you so much for the call. The only Walgreens I can think of on the north side right off top of my head is at Natural Bridge and Kings Highway. I know there's one there, but that's
right.
That's another story. What about north side relics, if you will, north side landscape?
Definitely. North, including several treasures from the north side, was important for me to get into the book. And if you pick up a copy, you'll find many of them in there, including, you know, Beaumont High School, Sam the Watermelon Man, Ed's White Front Barbecue, Romine's Fried Chicken. Also, I've got Carter Carburetor in there, and of course, you've got the old parks like Sportsman's Park and so forth. But I believe you'll be happy with I represent the North Side well. That's such an important area to St. Louis history. I certainly wasn't going to let that go.
She indicated, I don't know how far back you go. How far back do you go in the book?
Actually, I sprinkle in a few that really even go back to the 19th century. You'll find some beer gardens back there and even, you know, a couple restaurants and like Tony Faust's is in there. Yeah. Some of the really famous notable places from even back in the even Auguste Chouteau's mansion is in the book. So that even goes back even further. So.
Back to the first segment, food. Why did you decide to start with food?
Food is really where so many people have their memories and is in food. And it really was also the easy. I mentioned how difficult photographs were. Getting photographs of food in restaurant was actually rather easy. And memories of family dinners at places like the Flaming Pit. And
Jerry's.
Yeah.
That was a big family place.
Yeah. And I believe, you know, from everything, not just the structures and the buildings themselves, but to the foods that served. And St. Louis has such a close tie to all their famous foods like brain sandwiches and gooey butter cake and so forth.
Brain sandwiches. We're talking South St. Louis now.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's take another call. We'll bring in Mike. He's calling from the city. Mike, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
I grew up in Cincinnati, and there was a boat there called the Delta Queen, and it's moved all around the country, and I understand that there is coming to St. Louis. It's the last wooden steamboat in existence, and they need to get like congressional approval because it's a wooden boat and it's a steamship. So do you know anything about that?
Personally, I don't, but I, if it comes to, just like the previous caller mentioned, if we had another boat on a riverfront, I would welcome it with open arms. But unfortunately, I'm not familiar with what is the Delta Queen and it's where it's headed to.
You know, I have there's a little bell ringing in the back of my mind here that is something along these lines. There was talk about it certainly at one time. We shall see.
Yeah.
Because we've had some vessels here that have been moved towards Cincinnati with was it the Admiral or the Goldenrod? At some point there was a fellow that wanted to move it to Cincinnati.
Yeah, I believe it was the Goldenrod.
Yeah,
and
I think
right
so
now
too.
It's on the Illinois River somewhere, yeah. But that's one that has moved around as well.
Yeah. Well, let's bring in another caller, Jay from Normandy. It's your turn. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Sounds like a really cool book.
It is.
I was curious about Holiday Hill, if you had that in there, the Chain of Rocks Amusement Park. And on Manchester Avenue, Don, I don't know if you'll go back this far, there was a miniature golf place on Manchester, probably west of Kirkwood, and it was like playing in a jungle.
Hollywood Golf.
I don't know.
Yep.
What was it?
Hollywood Golf, and it is in the book.
Is it?
Yeah, as are Chain of Rocks and along with the Highlands. I think I got three or four other amusement parks in there. Del Mar Gardens, and I think Westlake Park is in
West
there.
Westlake is definitely in there.
Yep.
Wow, I didn't think anybody'd remember the old miniature golf place on Manchester.
Actually, wow. As exactly how you mentioned it, people described it as it was like playing in a jungle, and it was, you know, overgrown with. It sounded like a wonderful place.
You know,
it was unusual.
Thanks for the call. Thank you for the call. You know, pound for pound, it seems that at one time that St. Louis had more amusement parks than probably most places. Is there any particular explanation for that?
I really don't know, but it's interesting because Forest Park Islands, there was another one right up. Was that, I'm not sure if – but there was one closer up at the intersection of Clayton and Oakland that was just up the road from
the Highlands.
From the Highlands. And they were scattered all over. And today we have just the one at Six Flags. So,
and of course, that was before television,
yeah.
You know, before people were spending their time indoors as opposed to going outdoors.
Another along that line, another is I always fascinated by the number of German restaurants that were in South St. Louis at one point.
Yeah, not much of a surprise there, given the German heritage
right.
In this community. Yeah, let's take another call. We've got Rick joining us from Brentwood. May have the answer to one of our earlier questions. Go ahead, Rick.
Yes, I wanted to bring you up to date on the Delta Queen. So, I have a special place for the Delta Queen because I worked on the Delta Queen when I was in college between my sophomore and junior and senior year in college. They're spending millions of dollars right now. It's being refurbished, I believe, on the Ohio River somewhere, and it will be brought to Kimswick, Missouri.
Kimswick?
Within, yes.
Great.
And my brother sent me a link on that. We watched it. We followed the Delta Queen closely. It went through a bad time in Tennessee on the Tennessee River. And was in pretty bad shape, but they're bringing it back, and it's got a reprieve from Congress so that they can do overnight excursions.
Rick, thanks for the call and for the update. Yeah, that is sort of ringing a bell now with regard to Kimswick. Cameron, how far afield do you go outside of St. Louis for some of these landmarks?
Definitely I focused on St. Louis City itself, but kind of like, you know, in terms of going back in time, I sprinkle a few in. There's a couple on the east side of the river. There's a couple out in St. Charles and even one way out in Wentzville. But it's like I'm trying to draw them all back into the city. That's where the focus of the books, where the book lies.
And there are plenty of them, obviously, mm-hmm. If you've got some 400 or so. We have a question here, which is a very good one. So often we don't get perspective on what we have until it's gone. Have you thought about what some of the St. Louis's current treasures are, something that we'd really miss if they were no longer here?
Sure. You know, I think about that often where we have structure. And actually, when you look at the architecture and building section in there, there are, you know, I heard just the other day that the building that once housed Dooley's Limited in downtown is going to come down. That's a really unique structure in downtown St. Louis. Just a couple years ago, the Castle Ballroom came down. But you see efforts to preserve places, you know, like you see the Cinderella Theater on Cherokee. That would be a shame if that came down. But definitely, it gives you perspective.
Is there any common thread as to why so many of these places are no longer here? I mean, some just get old, families move on and what have you. Mm-hmm. Is there dots to be connected?
Sure, there could be. I believe, you know, St. Louis is spread out a lot. And, you know, there's like a lot of people don't live in the city anymore. And some of these places, you know, tenants or, you know, people prefer to build new places out where new neighborhoods mm-hmm. where they live and so forth. That could have something to do with it.
Sure. Let's take another call. This one is from Colin in St. Louis. Colin, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, I would love to hear about the Cherokee Caves and any other cave attractions that you have come across while making this book.
Yeah, great. The caves are dear to my heart due to their use as lagering cellars, of course. But the Cherokee Caves is in the book, you know, a popular attraction back in its day. And also Uhrig's Cave is in the book, which was one of the caves that goes back to the early days of St. Louis, where Joseph Uhrig had a brewery that stood around where Union Station is now, and he even had a railroad that ran underground from his cave at the corner up on Jefferson to his brewery at Union Station. So the caves are in there as well. And I've never been in a cave, and I would love to get that opportunity.
Oh, I'm sure you could do that without any difficulty at all. I'm being advised here. We're on top of all this stuff, Cameron. Earthbound Beer is moving into the old Cherokee Brewery Company location. We will have an audio tour of those caves on Wednesday's program next week.
I'm really excited about that. That's a great step. I can't wait to get down there.
Okay. Let's bring in Mark, calling from St. Peter's. You're on the air, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi there. How are you?
Great. How are you? Go ahead.
Good. The reason why the amusement parks were built where they were is because they were on the streetcar lines. So you had the West Lake that was at the end of the St. Charles, well, not the end of the St. Charles line, but at the end of the Natural Bridge line. The same way with the Highlands and also the line that went out to Creve Coeur. It was to get the people out of the city because it was too hot, and it was a place to go, and it was also a way to develop usage of the streetcars.
That makes great sense. Also, Del Mar Garden right there at the Loop as well.
That's exactly right.
Yep, thank you.
Mark, thank you for that information. You know, there is a wonderful story, I think, in the importance of the streetcar in the history not only of St. Louis but in many of the communities, because things were certainly – the streetcar had to take people where they wanted to go and needed to go, and there's a lot of detail there. That's great. One of the things I wanted to ask you about is a building that I pass every day coming to the station here, and I've never really thought very much about it until I found it in your book, and that's the old Coronado Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer a hotel. I think it belongs to SLU now.
I believe so.
Dormitory. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about that, because Charles Lindbergh is much associated with it.
Right, yeah. The Coronado is located right across from SLU's campus.
Spring and Lindell, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. The Charles Lindbergh connection, I actually cannot remember it right now since there's so many treasures.
Well, he used to stay there.
Yeah.
And I think that they built a special ballroom, as I understand. I'm going back to your book now from memory. The special ballroom that still exists was built particularly for him and for events that would feature him.
That's right, yes.
So yeah. It's just one of those little nuggets right in the middle of us.
So many nuggets of St. Louis history that are hidden.
Now, how might you have come across that good story?
The Coronado, in especially the hotels, I have a particular interest in the hotels. Just, you know, the Planter's House and the Southern hotels, these being these extravagant places. And then even the Lindell Hotel, which was not in the book, but were very easy to research. A lot of newspaper archives to give stories that of things that happened in these places, because they, back in, you know, decades ago, they were meeting places. They weren't just places to spend the night. They were where people dined and where they drank, and lots of things happened there.
I have to ask you about something that I mentioned in promoting this program, and that's the Elvis is Alive Museum.
Yeah, that's to your earlier question, the farthest one away.
Yeah.
That was one I threw in just because I had been there a couple times and I found it to be one of the most bizarre places I had ever been. A museum dedicated solely to the fact that I believe the man's name was Bill Beeny, that Elvis was still alive. Mm-hmm. And I even took my mother there. It was a treat that just a fun place to visit, weird history in St. Louis.
You know, I remember a piece that Paul Shankman, longtime reporter for Channel 2, did on that museum years ago. He was one of the best writers and reporters in the town, and that was one of his best pieces, too. A very, very colorful place and characters involved with it.
Very much so.
Any big surprises for you in putting all of this together?
Really, the main surprise is, yes, definitely, how much I enjoyed it. I really, like, when I first approached the project, I knew that I had to get out and talk to a lot of people. And I really, what surprised me is how much I enjoyed that process. It was sitting down with people who remembered times past and hearing their stories. I met a gentleman who fought in the Battle of the Bulge, and I sat there and listened to him talk about the Top of the Tower restaurant where he proposed to his wife. And these are all stories I hope I can hang on to, maybe write about in the future as well.
Well, we'll look forward to that, Cameron Collins. Again, reminder to our listeners, the book is The Lost Treasures of St. Louis. Whether you're a newcomer or an old-timer, you'll find something there, and there are a lot of things in there that will be of great interest to you. Congratulations on the book, and thank you so much for being with us, Cameron.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yeah. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Colin Mueller, Monica Ramirez, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis On the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.